You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
In the beginning, there was darkness. Then, out of the void, came fire, smoke, Roto. Fantasy excellence begins here.
This is your time.
The Roto Experts in the Morning starts now.
It is Monday, April 17th, 2017. And this is the Roto Experts in the Morning. Alongside the Fantasy Executive Corey Parson. And as I found out today, Fast and the Furious producer Matt Modica.
Production. I was not producing. I worked on the second unit.
I'm Greg Sussman. Matt, did you get to drive any of the cars?
No, but I was second units where they do all the stunts and everything. So
right.
It was really cool. The stunt guys were awesome. We blew up a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
And it was really one of the better times.
Oh, that's pretty cool. Now, did you get to meet Vin Diesel?
No, I did not meet Vin Diesel.
Did you meet Paul Walker?
Did not meet Paul. I did, like I said, I was pretty much all second unit, which was actually a hell of a, if you work second unit, it's a hell of a lot better. You're dealing with, like, you know, the stunt people and right. All that, so.
Michelle Rodriguez? Nothing?
None of them.
Huh. The Rock? Not The Rock.
I don't think The Rock was there yet. I think this was pre-Rock.
Yeah, this is pre-Rock. This is all Paul Walker. Corey!
Yo.
What's up, man?
Ain't nothing much. Just trying to make it, you know what I'm saying? Shaking and baking. You know how we do.
Oh, it's Patriots Day today.
Yeah, you got that 11 o'clock baseball game in Boston, the Boston Marathon today too, right?
Absolutely.
So they're having a big thing going on up there. So,
yeah.
I hope it sucks.
Never mind. Yeah, Patriots Day. We hope the marathon goes well. Hope it's all good up there in Boston, of course, with Patriots Day. But you got to get your lineup set pretty early today, Matt.
That you do. This happens every year, so this really shouldn't be a surprise to really anybody unless it's your first time playing fantasy baseball.
Could be.
You know, that would be the only excuse. I mean, if you're running a league or something, somebody says, oh, I forgot to set my lineup. Well,
yeah.
You know.
I better do that.
Yeah, you better do that. It was a really interesting weekend in baseball, as it tends to be. Like, I was watching a lot on Saturday, and there was a lot of, I wouldn't say surprising results, so before we get into Sunday game, I really want to get into Saturday a little bit, because, like, you had two pitchers that really were, I guess, not surprising, but maybe these guys aren't so bad. And I want to start with Irvin Santana, who we have talked about before. And Irvin Santana, Matt, when he signed with Minnesota, then he immediately got popped for steroids. And we're like, yep, well, that's pretty much right. This dude is the ace of the staff. I mean, he is really good.
He's been really good since the middle of June. He was a savior for me last season when Kershaw went down. I was about to cut him. I mean, I didn't need to cut him, so I kept him on my bench. And then I pretty much, out of necessity, inserted him into my lineup. And he paid off quite nicely. I stated pretty much all draft season, in deeper leagues, this is a guy that isn't going to hurt you, give you the innings, and he's a solid back of the end rotation. I don't think this is going to continue at this level.
I feel like I just totally missed out. Like, I just totally missed this.
Yeah, but if you're playing in a 12-team league, I mean, he's a nice guy. Maybe not. He's not as, going into the season, I mean, as much as I like him too, I mean, for 15 teams, he's much more relevant. I mean, now he's somebody that, you know, he should be on. He should be rostered, but I don't think it's really your fault for not being, you know.
So not only when it comes to the Twins, am I talking about Irvin Santana here? I mean, there's more, and that leads us to yesterday's starter in Hector Santiago. And we sat here last Tuesday, and went over Hector Santiago's start. And I'm like, man, this is all smoke and mirrors. We were waiting for him to blow up. Corey, he didn't blow up. In fact, he pitched better than he has all season. What, 6 strikeouts, no walks, barely any hits? I mean, Hector Santiago was successful with the Angels, comes over to Minnesota. He's picked up right where he left off. I mean, this is a actual fantasy valuable contributor.
Yeah, I think Santiago, like you said last week, obviously coming into it, you were ho-hum about the situation, but then he goes out there, throws seven scoreless, striking out six. So Hector Santiago is an interesting name. We know that he has some sort of a pedigree. So, you know, from his stops with Chicago and the and I believe Anaheim, correct?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, Chicago and Anaheim. So, yeah, interesting. I mean, nothing to break the bank for, but he has showed off some good stuff to start the season.
Well, and then that obviously leads
me to... number two starter.
That obviously leads me to the other side of that game, which I found really interesting, because I'm sitting here on Saturday in my league where, of course, you make pickups every day. And I needed a spot starter for Sunday. And my two main choices, and there are tons of guys go off the waiver wire throughout the day Saturday. And I was deciding the two that I liked best were James Shields and Hector Santiago. Same game, and I had no idea which way to go. I did not go with Santiago. I went with James Shields. I thought, given the Twins' lineup, like Shields would get more strikeouts, Buxton and Sano and all those guys in there. I thought Shields would be the better play. And Shields pitched great. Six innings, five hits, one run. Walk three, strikeout five. You know, if I went Santiago, would I have won whip for the week? Maybe. Probably would have. But Shields pitched well as well, and you heard Tony and Scotty talking about it just a couple of moments ago. James Shields, Matt, I'm not saying that he's somebody you're going to put in your lineup and just forget about the rest of the year. But as you said yesterday, right now he's a guy you can take a flyer on and see where it goes.
Yeah, you're 100% right. I mean, it's definitely league size dependent. You know, but in a 12-team league, if you needed to, like you said, if you need to spot start him and stuff, he's a guy you got to keep a close eye on, like Corey mentioned, with, like, say, in football and stuff. Sometimes last year's trash could be this year's, you know. Yeah. The worm turns every year. You have to. I mean, James Shields has had a successful career, so.
So, who would you rather have going forward? Rank these three guys. You're wearing a Minnesota Twins hat, oddly enough, today, so that works out wonderfully. Notice Corey's not wearing a Rangers hat today. Just saying. Ervin Santana, Hector Santiago, James Shields.
I'll go Santiago. Oh, no, excuse me. Santana. There Ervin Santana won. Shields second, Santiago third, but it's really close. I mean, the thing with Santiago is he's done this. Look, he has a couple seasons with like mid threes ERA or even like 3.75, which is really good. But it always seems like smoke and mirrors.
It always seems like smoke and mirrors. I agree, but we've seen it before. Marco Estrada, like, again, I bring that name up because everyone wants to kill this guy, and he does it over and over again. This is what Hector Santiago is. I owned him in the past. I don't own him now. Like I said before, I picked up Shields. Somebody else picked up Santiago. But he has done this before, and it would not surprise me to see him have some success again.
You know, I'm going to go, like I said, I'm going Shields. It's close, but I'm going Shields based on what he's been able to do over the course of his career. He's had some really, really good seasons. And Santiago has had some, like I said, the thing is Santiago going to be that 350 to 375 guy or the 470 from last year? That's
right.
Really the...
And again, I'm buying the Santiago as the 350 to 375 guy. That's exactly what I'm expecting. Sure. For the White Sox, Avisel Garcia hit a walk-off homer yesterday. And Garcia's now batting 465, 511. Yeah, it's been since last Monday we talked about him. In the week since, he's done nothing else but hit. 4-for-5 yesterday, 3 singles, then the walk-off bomb. Avisel Garcia, has he risen to must-pick-up status yet for you, Matt?
Yeah, I think you have to take notice. Even if the guy falters and, say, in a month or so is back to the old Avisel Garcia, you just can't ignore this right now. It's just going too well, and somebody's going to take the shot on him. So why not let it be you and see if you can reap the benefits?
For the White Sox, my guy Tim Anderson had a day off yesterday because he's really been struggling. I don't feel bad for getting rid of Tim Anderson. Just saying, for anyone that cares.
Oh, it's April, like, 17th. April 17th. He's been playing for 2 weeks.
And he hasn't been good in those 2 weeks, Corey. I play for the now.
I love that. I do.
No, hey, by the way.
So you ate like 3 weeks of bad stats, and then...
Yeah, that's so terrible.
And then when he goes off and he starts to
still
make
about,
up,
it's not like anyone owns him.
You're not going... Oh, you can go back and get him.
Okay. Yeah. No one's picking up a terrible player like that. Matt Davidson, by the way. We mentioned him when we mentioned Avisel Garcia last week, too. Because Davidson, 2-for-4 yesterday, he's batting 370. But we'd be a little bit higher than that. Davidson, a former top prospect, much like Avisel Garcia, you know, was with the Marlins and really bounced around a couple times. But now he's got a job every day. Is Matt Davidson... I don't think in 12-team leagues anyone picking up Matt Davidson. But in 15-team leagues, Matt, what are we thinking?
Yeah, in a 15-team league, he's relevant. I mean, I believe in the power. I'm not sure if I believe in the contact skills. I've seen a couple of blurbs where he looks like a different guy. I mean, I've heard that plenty of times, and, you know, it's such a small sample size that...
Yeah.
Look, I would put a small flyer on him if you wanted. He's more
Dollar
like
make
Joey
Gallo.
Yeah, like a Joey Gallo-esque type.
Okay, I agree with that. Davidson's hotter than Gallo, though, average-wise. I know Gallo's had some power, but I think Davidson's hotter.
Yeah, yeah. Right now, he is. My whole thing is... Come, today's April 17th.
Yep.
Yeah. Come May 17th.
Where will he be?
Look, he's probably going to get an opportunity just once Todd Frazier gets, you know, traded. But when is that going to be? Do the White Sox hold on to Frazier and try to maximize his value, wait for him to get hot, trade him towards the deadline? You know, and it's all going to depend if a team in contention, say, loses a third baseman and all that good stuff.
For the Minnesota Twins yesterday, Brian Dozier, the inside the park home run. It looks like his knee is okay.
That was the most encouraging thing. Like, when I seen he hit an inside the park homer and I watched the highlight, I was very happy. Because I was getting a little nervous. This is a guy I got some, you know, shares of.
Some major shares of. Miguel Sano, 0-for-5, 4 strikeouts. That's the bad Miguel Sano, but that's okay.
Yeah, I mean, he was due for the bad Miguel Sano to show up. He's
absolutely
been pretty good.
Are we also due for the good Byron Buxton to show up? Just let me know when that happens.
Like I said, he should bunt every day. He should bunt at least once every game.
Batting ninth now. He was 0-for-3 with 2 strikeouts, an average up to 0.93, Corey.
Yeah, 0.93. Off to a slow start. So I think, obviously, you're going to see him move around in the order a little bit like he's doing so now. But we're still the speed upside and what the kid can do is a lot. I think it's safe to bench him.
It probably is safe to bench him. So that was one of the Twins and their starting pitching was one of the pitching things I saw Saturday and Sunday that I wanted to talk about. When we come back, I also wanted to get into another odd one, and that's actually in Colorado because 2 days in a row, two interesting names, two interesting starts. Let's break that down on the other side of the break. This is the Roto Experts in the Morning on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Enjoy. I know. You probably thought I said it wrong when we went to break, that I wanted to talk about pitching and Colorado, but it's true. Because it's become a very, very interesting spot for pitchers. Last week, as I told both of you guys in the morning, I like Kyle Freeland. I'm in. That was a disaster. But that's okay. Kyle Freeland pitches again tomorrow. But Saturday night, gentlemen, it wasn't a disaster for the Colorado Rockies. In fact, it was quite the opposite. Because Tyler Chatwood, once again, away from Coors Field, kind of picked up where he left off. Chatwood pitched a complete game shutout, Corey. 9 innings, 2 hits. 4 strikeouts, he walked just 1, and he was almost perfect out there in San Francisco.
Yeah, no, we're starting to see some performances so far this season from Chatwood that makes you think that, you know, that gives you some hope for the young Colorado pitcher. I'm still to the point on Chatwood where I'm just not buying in and trusting it fully yet with Chatwood. Now, he's getting picked up in a lot of leagues and stuff like that. I still would be cautious, and I would temper my expectation with dealing with Mr. Chatwood.
Yeah, I mean, with Chatwood, I think last year he might have led, like, MLB on the road.
Yep, he did.
He did have, like, you know, he did have, like, a 4-something walks per 9. So that's pretty amazing when you can pull that feat off. Hey, look, the Rockies right now, their pitching is actually rolling. It's a shame they lost John Gray.
Yep.
The bullpen on fire. I mean, totally on fire. I mean, Chatwood, to me, on the road, if you want to spot start him, fine, but I'd just be very cautious.
And that leads me to yesterday when it came to Antonio Sensatella, who, you know, let up 3 runs in the first inning immediately after Colorado scored 3 runs. Thought it'd be a tough day. Didn't allow another run in the next 6 innings. He pitches 7 innings, 7 hits, 3 runs, strikes out 3, doesn't walk anybody. And again, another Colorado pitcher. He's got some talent. He's off to a nice start this year. Sensatella, a lot to like.
Well, here's the thing with these Colorado pitchers, and not even just Colorado, like the Hector Santiago,
James Shields,
all these types of pitchers.
Yep.
It's early. Like I said, the sample's so small, and these guys are looking really good. You got the Quintanas, the Maedas, the Tanakas.
Yep.
You just got to be careful not to, you know, overthink it. Think about the guys that have been good, that have shown you the results these last few years, the guys you paid up to get. And just don't be so quick. You know, everybody is living in the now, but you got to think about the whole season. That's just my word of advice, my little warning. Sometimes we get lulled into this, and we see, wow, like, you know, this guy has been great for two starts. You know, it's two starts.
It's just two starts. I agree for sure. And I also think that I brought this up with Tony last week when it came to John Gray. I didn't have any John Gray shares this year. So even when he got hurt, it didn't affect me.
It did me.
Because as good as John Gray is or was, I just don't mess with Colorado. It's just like one of those things I don't need to just get into. Like, let somebody else get John Gray. And if it works out, that's awesome for them. I don't need to mess with that. And I basically crossed my own lesson or disobeyed my own lesson when I got Kyle Freeland last week, because I bought into the story, I watched him pitch, I was into it, and that was stupid. I don't mess with these Colorado guys. And I understand when they're away from Denver, it's a totally different thing, as we saw with Chatwood, we saw with Sensatella over the weekend. But these just aren't guys you can throw in your lineup at the beginning of a week if they're in Colorado and be like, all right, cool, I feel confident here. You can't do that. And that's what's annoying about all these Colorado guys. Outside the bullpen, which is, as you mentioned, been phenomenal.
Yeah, I mean, things are going to change. The weather's going to get warmer. Teams are going to have a book on these pitchers as well. So, I mean, tread very cautiously. And don't be benching the guys that really should be in there. That's what I worry. I think a lot of people, you know, they just get caught up in that.
I agree. I agree with that. On the other side of yesterday's game, you had Jeff Samardzija, and Jeff Samardzija's had very similar lines all season, right? Like 5 and 30, let up 6 runs, but he struck out 9. He hits. In his second start at home against Arizona, 6 2/3, 3 runs, 7 Ks. Yesterday, 7 innings pitched, 4 runs, 8 Ks. He's striking guys out when he gets them out. He's struggling early, and then, you know, he pitches pretty well. Like yesterday, little 4 runs in his first 2 innings, pitched 5 more innings clean. Like, this is Jeff Samardzija, and he has been all year. I get the ERA is 6, but I don't know if he's been as bad as the ERA indicates.
No, I mean, Jeff Samardzija has a place in your rotation. You've seen it last year. He's like a Jekyll and Hyde. He has a couple of really good months. I mean, I think it was June and July, or July and August, whatever. He just got blown up. I mean, it was just awful. And then he had another couple of good months. I mean, he's a guy that's going to give you innings, a guy that's going to give you strikeouts. Look, his biggest problem, as you just stated,
home runs.
Home runs and avoiding that blow-up inning. Like, he just seems like he can't avoid that blow-up inning. It gets him. I mean, even like his first start, he pitched really like 8 strikeouts. He had the first 3 innings, he was like unhittable. The 4th inning, he gave up a bunch of runs. Yeah. Then unhittable, then a bunch of runs. So this is what you got to live with. But, I mean, you want to try and play some matchups. But over the course of his season is what you're hoping to get. Maybe a high threes, the innings, and some strikeouts.
He's going to get you a lot of Ks. Like, I agree with Matt. He has a spot in your fantasy rotation.
I don't know what that is. Sorry. let me see here. So the Giants yesterday, hitting wise, of course, all it really comes very, very early on. Brandon Crawford returns with the big triple. Hunter Pence had a sack fly. Nick Hundley had a sack fly, and that was it. That was all the scoring yesterday for San Francisco. While Colorado got a leadoff home run from Charlie Blackmon. The power, it's nice to see. He also had a little bit of speed. And while Blackman's not having the average you're used to at this point, he's obviously had some power success, given that he has 3 home runs on the year thus far. Nolan Arenado had 2 doubles yesterday. He's off the next start as well.
Yeah, I mean, the Rockies can make some hay. They can make some hay this year. I think even Arizona, if they could get some pitching. I mean, Arizona's got to stabilize that bullpen. Maybe Archie Bradley's the guy to do it. But, I mean, I think the West is going to come down to, say, Giants and Dodgers, obviously. I think the Giants will play closer to the Dodgers. But one of these two teams, I think, is going to make it interesting.
Huh. So I'm looking at we're going to get to Milwaukee in a second because and I'm looking at our GST league here, and I forgot that I put in a $69 bid in for Jimmy Nelson, so I hope he's good.
This is going to be an interesting week. He's at the 2-start week. He's at the Cubs, I believe, on like Tuesday, which that could be a little painful. I'm not going to lie. I'm rolling him out there in the 2-start week. Hopefully the St. Louis Cardinals haven't gotten their act together come by this weekend. Because they look very un-Cardinal-like.
Like, I feel like I put this in here, like, when Jimmy Nelson was good last week, when we were talking about it, I got all excited, so I put a bid in. I feel like I didn't tell Nando about that one. I kind of just did it.
Okay.
And now I woke up and like, oh, I did do that.
I think Nando's a Jimmy Nelson kind of guy.
I think so, too. So, you know, I think he'll be excited. Oh, Jimmy Nelson for a two-star week. Yeah, go Greg. For now. We'll see how that goes.
Talk to me on Sunday.
Pretty much. Well, we had a nice little week. We're in fifth place now in here. We had a nice little week. I know, Corey, it's been 2 weeks, whatever.
No, I don't mind that. I think standing watching, I don't have a problem with
that. Well, look, you just really can't help looking at the stand. Well, you not, open up the page.
I'm not sitting looking at it every second of every day. It's Monday. I'm setting my line. Yeah. Well, pretty good. I had a good week. Let's go. Let's keep it rolling. In Milwaukee yesterday, you had Willie Peralta have a nice little day again with 6 innings and 3 hits and 2 runs. And this is another one of these guys that just doesn't strike anybody out, but he's off to a pretty solid start.
Yeah, this is the whole thing. Willie Peralta, I mean, Chase Anderson's had like, him. Go dating back to last year,
yep.
15 starts of like 3 runs or less.
And then Jimmy Nelson.
Yeah, Peralta finished strong last year. He had a handful of good starts. Jimmy Nelson's looking kind of good.
Obviously, the Brewers would overachieve. You know, they're overachieving. We'll see, right? I mean, that's all it is, the pitching.
Yeah, I mean, you got to watch. I mean, like, I got Jimmy Nelson rolling, too. Yep. Jimmy Nelson could get blown up tomorrow.
Very well. And then I'll be in trouble. All right, but obviously, the reason we're talking about the Brewers is nothing to do with their pitching staff.
Yes, exactly.
It has everything to do with Eric Thames.
The most interesting man in the world.
The most interesting man in the world. He was 1-for-4 yesterday. I was like, oh, no, man, Eric Thames sucks because he didn't hit a home run for his 75th consecutive day. And then he did. To make it 76. 368, 455. Eric Thames is homered, what, in 4 straight games or 5 at this point? It's either 4 or 5 because he has 6 home runs now on the season. I don't think you have to worry about the first base eligibility here, Matt, because Eric Thames has been out of this world this week.
Praise be Jesus on that. But the last 4 games, just to let you know, this week for Eric Thames, he had 19 plate appearances, mm-hmm. 7 hits, 5 homers, 8 runs, 8 RBIs. His average was .438, OBP of .526. He slugged .1375.
Wow.
A WOBA of .748. And a weighted runs created of .380. That's a pretty damn good week.
It's a pretty damn good week. Now, listen, is he going to steal 50 bases? Is he going to bat .500? Probably not.
No.
But Eric Thames' power is real, and you drafted him wherever you got him. That was one hell of a start.
Well, the thing is the park, too.
You knew that when you drafted him.
I mean, the average, if he bats anything above .250.
Yep. It's a win.
Yeah, that's a win. He steals me 10 to 12 bases. I'm stoked about that. But, you know, the power is what you want. Hopefully, you know, he's got, what, 6 now? Hopefully there's at least 24 more to go.
Yeah, I mean, it's just one hell of a week, and hopefully he can keep it rolling. Cause I've seen zero signs of him falling apart here, kind of like Travis Shaw, who did fall apart. Ryan Braun hit his 4th home run of the year. I joke about Shaw, who hit his 2nd home run of the year yesterday. You had my man Keon Broxton get the day off, a much needed day off because he doesn't get many hits.
He's the National League Byron Buxton.
That's bad because I own Keon Broxton.
I own Keon Broxton too.
I don't like that.
Johnny
VR also got the day off, and he saw one pitch and a pinch hit appearance, and then got out. He's off to a very, very cold start. I know he had a couple of runs last week, sold a couple bases last week, but he's off to a very cold start, Core.
Who's that?
Johnny VR.
Yeah, but you got to understand, with a player like Jonathan VR, we know what the skill set is, not to mention the fact it is still very early. Now, with VR, he is going to start getting rolling soon. And, Greg, don't cut him.
I'm not cutting Johnny VR.
Yeah, but just like Corey said with VR, he had one game like 2 games ago or something. Still like 3 bases.
Oh, yeah, I know.
So, I mean,
that's why I'm in 5th place.
Yeah.
Billy Hamilton.
Because of that.
What's up?
Because of that. That's the reason
why.
Still
3 bases? Probably. I'll let you know.
No, it's a nice come up.
It is.
You got a little tightened up over the weekend, eh?
I got it. Yeah, I did. Friday after work. I got it.
On a Monday morning.
You know, it's funny. I went out to my mom's yesterday, who we talked about, and everyone's talking about, like, Judy's haircut. I was like, I
what about me? Yeah.
They're like, yeah, your hair looks the same.
They don't care about you, Greg.
Well, it's just like it all looks the same, you know? Yeah, it's crazy.
I don't like this rule where you have to in Tout Wars. When you pick somebody up.
Oh, I'm excited to go over your pickups a little bit later on. It's my favorite part of
it. No. It's not a big deal. Nothing spectacular this week.
Well, maybe, I'm excited to see who's at the door.
I didn't even invite him in. It was kind of slumming this week. I got beat out on some bids, specifically for Francisco Liriano. But on like Zach Cozart is like
not somebody.
Well, I think he's a guy. I mean, what's the other option?
Over four yesterday. He bet 432 though.
Hmm? I mean, right now he's starting good. I mean, what's the other option?
I mean, other options are guys, you know, like Brandon Phillips. You know what I mean? So I'm still trying to piece this thing together with Martinez.
That dude's been pretty good.
Yeah, I know. It's like I got to figure out a way to get him in there. But I got this situation with Beltre and J.D. Martinez and Giovanni Soto and John Gray. So it's just like it's an infirmary.
It's not fair.
Yeah, I got Beltre in the league, and I don't think he's coming back anytime soon.
Yeah,
wonderful.
But like, but to be fair with Adrian Beltre, you wake up tomorrow, he'll be in the lineup. Like that's the thing with Beltre. You have no idea. Billy Howison's funny, because I think it was last Monday, actually, we sat in these exact seats that we are in currently, and we looked at Billy Hamilton's average. It was at 310. I'm like, oh, my God, if he hits 270, like, the world's on fire. 1 week later, he sits at 235 with an OBP of 259. Over three yesterday. Got caught stealing for the first time yesterday. Billy Hamilton, come back down earth.
It's like, look, that's perfect what you just brought up. He had one good week, one bad week.
Correct.
That's all it is. I even tweeted out the guy that, you know, I invested heavily in. You mentioned him at the end of last week. Kevin Kiermaier.
Yes, your guy.
After I tweeted it out, though, Kevin Kiermaier, I think, got a hit, a walk, or something like that.
Yeah, so, okay. So the Kevin Kiermaier thing, I was very annoyed because I have him, I have Cam Broxton, none of these guys get hits. But I've held on to him. Like, I really want to pick up Rafael Garcia, and I've just held on to Kevin Kiermaier because my friend Matt told me to. But I benched him yesterday for Brandon Drury at the last second because I was like, you know what? Kiermaier lefty, you're facing Chris Sale, like, this is a good day to have Kiermaier on the bench. And he stole the base. I could have used that stolen base. And that was annoying.
Yeah, up until like the end of that, like the last couple of bats of that game, he was, his last 22 plate appearances was 1 for 19.
I know.
Eight strikeouts.
I sit here and I watch Kiermaier every damn day.
But like you say, it's like, just like Billy Hamilton. Yeah. It's a bad week. It's a bad week. I mean, is Eric Thames going to be like this every week?
We hope so.
We hope, but
we can't promise that.
Yeah.
We can't promise that. It's obviously a bad week, but, you know, we could turn around. All right, we've waited a half hour. I think we get into the Texas situation when we come back because it's crazy to me. Like, I'll explain all this when we come back because I'm watching this stupid game and I got so annoyed, like, multiple times. It's actually hilarious, my situation with my team and this game. It's very apropos as a fantasy player. It's a true fantasy player story. And we'll talk about it when we come back here on the Road of Experts in the Morning. So, little update on Jimmy Nelson. I texted Nando. So I evidently bid $69 on Jimmy Nelson at some point last week. So we are now the proud owners of Jimmy Nelson. He goes, I was just about to ask you if you did that last night. I was like, listen, I did it when Modica was high on him last Wednesday, and now we own him. He goes, well, I got him in the Yahoo League, too. And Vaccaro's really excited about it. And I love Jimmy Nelson, so this is good. I'm like, yeah!
I knew Jimmy Nelson was a Nando kind of guy. I mean, come on.
So we're the proud owners of Jimmy Nelson. Let's go. You know who I am no longer in a league the proud owner of? That would be Tony Barnett, Corey.
Tony Barnett. Why? Yeah. What's your beef with Tony Barnett?
Tony Barnett sucks.
Mm-hmm.
So, let me set the stage. We sat here, give or take, last Wednesday, and Sam Dyson blew another one. We got on the radio, we started the show, and Corey's like, I don't want to talk about no damn closers. And we started with the show with Sam Dyson anyway. He's like, why do we got to talk about Sam Dyson every day? I feel bad for Sam. And we haven't talked about it since. And why, Matt? Because the Rangers haven't had an opportunity to get a save since. And here they are. They are up 6-4 as we head to the sixth inning, right? Okay. So we're heading to the sixth inning, and who comes in? Goddamn Tony Barnett. And I'm up a little bit in ERA, a little bit in WHIP for a week. And this guy that I thought was going to be the closer of this team, he doesn't come in the seventh or the eighth. Tony Barnett comes in the sixth.
And can't close the game in the sixth.
No. And you know what Tony Barnett does in the sixth? He immediately allows an RBI double to Danny Valencia. Fine. Still up in these categories. No big deal. He's now 6-5. Okay. You know who comes out to pitch the seventh, Corey?
Seventh inning for... Let me see. Who came in to pitch the seventh?
Nobody! Goddamn Tony Barnett stayed in there!
Barnett stayed in
there. And you know what he did then?
Give up a home run?
Next pitch, home run! Immediately! This guy, who was supposed to be the closer...
Why do you think he was going to be the closer?
Because who else was going to be the closer? That's what I was told.
Well, he's probably going to get a shot with them. I mean, look.
He could get a couple saves.
They didn't even give Jeffers really a shot.
They didn't give Jeffers a shot.
Let me continue. So Guillermo Heredia, who's probably not related to Gil Heredia. This is what I thought when I said G Heredia. So, goddamn Guillermo Heredia hits a home run. But you know what? Tony Barnett won't get the loss. It's fine. We move on to the ninth inning. And it's a tie game at home. Who does Seattle bring in? Oh, they're closer. Edwin Diaz, who I also own. What happens next? Boom! Home run against my closer, Edwin Diaz. And this just completed a week where no matter what reliever I had in my lineup, they had to let up runs. From Edwin Diaz yesterday, to Tony Barnett yesterday, to Ken Bedrosian coming in a no-win situation when he should have started the damn inning. He blows it too. His whip's out of control. And I'm sitting here. I had Ryan Matson earlier in the week. I go, I can't do anything right when it comes to my bullpen. So Edwin Diaz comes in. Nomar Mazara hits a home run. And I'm like, are you effing kidding me? And then we go to the bottom of the ninth. Seattle, down one. Who's going to be the closer for Texas? Who's it going to be? And in comes Sam Dyson one more time. Sam, damn it, Dyson. What does he do? Bases are loaded before he gets a single out. Sam Dyson blows it again. Matt Bush back yesterday, strikes out the side. Have to feel good about his chances of possibly being the closer.
I mean, you really do. This, like I said, I mentioned just before the show, he's the most dynamic arm. He comes in, three strikeouts. I just, as long as he's healthy, I mean, that was the only thing with the shoulder scare. As long as he's healthy, I don't see how he's not the guy going forward.
I agree with that. Sam Dyson, get the F off everybody's team.
I don't think his team is
like very much about me.
I don't know. Sam Dyson would be lucky if he has a job today. Maybe be DFA, to be honest with you. Yeah.
I think he might even get like a minor league assignment where he needs to get his shit together.
Absolutely. So there you go. That was the tips and turns of a fantasy owner that has two closers in this game. There's a lot going on, and it just can't do anything right. Cole Hamels yesterday, 5 innings, 6 hits, 4 runs, 3 of them were earned. He only struck out 2 batters. No, Matt, you were not high on him coming into this year. What have you thought through the first 3 starts?
It's pretty much what I kind of thought coming in. I mean, the guy's a warrior. I really don't like saying anything bad about Cole Hamels. I mean, even as a Met fan, he was a Philly for his whole career. And I still really couldn't hate the guy. But, he's going to have good outings. He's going to have more outings like this, too, I think. So, he's pretty much what I thought prior to the season.
He was what you thought he was, I say.
Little Denny Green.
There you go.
Let him off the hook.
The Mariners had 3 innings, 7 hits, 6 runs against Hisashi Iwakuma yesterday. Both of them pitched really, really well until my man Edwin Diaz came and screwed it all up. But Iwakuma gets bombed yesterday, Cor.
Yeah, well, can't win them all, can you? Nah, Hisashi Iwakuma, listen, he did not have his stuff working yesterday, but for the most part, I'm still comfortable. I like him more than I like some of these other pitchers and guys that we these arms that we take a gamble on sometime from week to week. So, but Iwakuma, yeah, he got roughed up pretty good.
Yeah, he's getting a little up there. He's been a good pitcher, but he's a guy that I'm not in on. I know some people really liked him as a late round guy that could produce.
Yeah, he could come.
He's had some good starts. Yesterday he did not, but. not my kind of guy.
I didn't have him in no lineups, though.
So neither did I.
Yeah, I'm glad about that.
Nomar Mazara, as I said, hits that home run off of Edwin Diaz's fourth of the year. Shinsu Chu hits his first. There's a three-run shot. Mazara and Chu get the job done yesterday. Donato Shields pinch ran, got his second stolen base of the year. We can't start him because he doesn't play. Let's get into Carlos Gomez here for a second, guys. Gomez is 0 for 4, walked once, he struck out. He's off to a really rough start here through 3 weeks. I guess there's nothing you can do about that. You just hold on to him for now, right, guys?
Oh, you're not going to cut him, Greg?
I want to. Sure, I do. I don't want to own him anymore.
Yeah, you just can't cut him right now. I mean, if it was a 10-team, yeah, to go right ahead. But in a 12-team league, look, the guy's the leadoff hitter for the Texas Rangers, number one. It's really only been 2 weeks. It's, you know, baseball started about April 2nd. It's now April 17th. So we've had 2 full weeks. I mean, I know we get wrapped up in it, and it gets tough to separate. But, I mean, I don't have any Gomez shares. He's a guy that, not that I didn't like. I mean, I like what he can offer. But you just can't cut him at this point. You have to
exercise. You got to ride patience. It out with him.
Yeah, like Corey's saying. Like, what did Corey say about the other guy? Anderson, you're going to eat 2 weeks
of bad stats.
Yeah,
you can't eat the bad and then put him on the bench.
You know, you want to eat the good, too, you know.
I want to own Avisel Garcia. For the Seattle Mariners yesterday, Mitch Haniger hits his fourth home run of the season.
He's balling.
Someone in my league this morning
caught him,
picked up Mitch Haniger and dropped Dexter Fowler.
You know what? I think Mitch, the average aside, I mean, if Mitch Haniger is what everybody was saying is, he'll probably, you know, put up better numbers, average aside, than Dexter Fowler. And people had him pegged as, say, a 2020 type guy. I mean, has Dexter Fowler ever done 2020?
Probably not.
Nope.
I have though. I guess I can't cut Kevin. I just need Kevin Kiermaier steals. My team has 6 steals total. That's not great.
Well, you want to know what's interesting about steals? Yeah. That we're talking about this. Like, a guy who's tied with the league lead in steals has like 38 plate appearances, which is lower than any of the other 6 guys he's tied with. Whatever. Raul Mondesi Jr.
Yeah.
These guys. That's why I'm saying the Lionel DeShields. If you can keep him on your bench, this guy gets any sort of an opportunity.
He's gonna run wild. He's gonna run wild. The Mariners also yesterday had a home run, as I said, from Guillermo Heredia. Jarrod Dyson, speaking of steals, his fourth. Leonis Martin, his third. Steal wise. Hey, let's head to where was I going next? I was going to L.A. right, because the Dodgers and. The reason I go to the Dodgers is they lost 3-1 yesterday, but this Rich Hill thing is a thing.
He's beating you up, huh?
I don't own him, thank God. I tried to own him, and I didn't get him anywhere. But Rich Hill, man, 3 innings, 5 hits, couple of runs, couple of walks, couple of strikeouts, and left the damn game with another blister.
Well, I did tweet out yesterday, if you own Rich Hill, Alex Wood was the running back handcuff. You know, I mean, look. I don't know what they got to do with this damn blister. They got to amputate his damn finger.
Like, this is ridiculous already.
This is like taking on like a whole new thing. Like, you know, we have like Tommy John surgery named after the. Somebody's going to figure out.
We got to get Rich Hill surgery. We got to get Rich Hill surgery so no more blisters. It's crazy to me.
It really is. That's why I kept saying you want to hold on to Alex Wood. I mean, Alex Wood. What he was able to do this week, you know, he got you a win. You know, he put up the stats even though he got that one start.
He'll very likely going back on the disabled list. I can't blame you if you're going to want to drop this guy, but you can't do it. You're going to
you gotta ride it out.
Sucks. Taiwan Walker had 5 innings pitched, 4 hits and run, struck out 7. His best start thus far this year. Fernando Rodney pitched a good 9th for his 4th save of the year. Chris Iannetta is his first home run of this season while Jake Lamb gets caught stealing. I do have a question about one of my guys, though, for Arizona. I mean, you guys can help me out. So Brandon Drury was 1-for-4. At 295, OBP is 311. He's fine. The average is right. He had a mediocre week. But he doesn't really do anything.
If you're talking about you want to cut Brandon Drury for Avisel Garcia,
yes,
I would say do it. Okay. I like Brandon Drury. I think in a 15-team league, he's a more valuable asset.
He is. Yep.
He's got multiple position. And he's a guy that I do think by the at year's end will have good stats for you. We'll do a lot of things. Maybe nothing great. He's not going to do anything fantastic. But I think he'll be a good player for you come year's end. But in your format, Abisal Garcia is definitely the pickup over him.
I really love his versatility, obviously, with Brandon Drury. Like, it's like,
yeah, but you shouldn't get all
caught,
like,
up in it.
Yeah, you're getting like all inebriated on eligibility.
Yeah, I just feel like, and Drury's my guy. Don't get me wrong, like, he is my guy. I love him. Like, Jose Ramirez, who I love. Who I was after this week, I had a hell of a week with Jose Ramirez.
Justin Verlander was the cure.
Versus Verlander was my cure. But I feel like Drury just doesn't do anything, and that's not going to get the job done for me. Back to the Dodgers here. Justin Turner was 2-for-4, a hit each for Yasmani Grandal, Yasiel Puig, your guy, Corey.
That's my boy.
And Adrian Gonzalez as well. They all had hits. We'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll talk about Kevin Kiermaier a little bit more. We'll talk about Tampa Bay and Boston on the other side. This is the Roto Experts in the Morning on the Fantasy Sports. Yesterday, the Red Sox and the Rays played a fun one, a 7-5 victory for Boston. Drew Pomeranz struck out 10 guys yesterday. 10 guys in just 4 1/3 innings. And he also allowed 5 runs, a couple of walks. But Pomeranz, man, 10 strikeouts, Corey.
Yeah, Drew Pomeranz, he's getting it done. He also 2 walks, but that's not that bad. 4 1/3 yesterday, but 5 earned.
Not good.
No, it's not good.
But it was good enough.
You take the 10 Ks, but listen, you can't be giving up 5 runs because then people are going to start looking at you funny.
Craig Kimbrel picks up his 5th save of the year.
He's perfect doing good.
Yeah, he's doing well.
These sheeps have gotten back on track.
I agree with that. Alex Cobb had 5 innings, 11 hits, 4 runs, walked 1. Alex Cobb did not strike out a batter, Corey.
No, but is that his game?
I mean, you got to have at least a strikeout here.
No, but if it's not his game, you know what I'm saying? It's
yeah,
not
but
his
he
game.
Should get some strikeouts. I mean, he's not like a...
Do a little better, but listen.
High-end guy that's good, you know, but...
All right. For the Rays, as I said, Kevin Kiermaier, 2-for-3, stole a base. What up, Kev? My man Chris Dickerson hit his 3rd home run of the year while Tim Beckham hit his 1st. I like Corey Dickerson. He's having a nice start this year. Batting, what is this, 4, 5, 6 against lefties, leadoff against righties. Like, that's pretty good.
And the encouraging thing was Corey Dickerson homered off of a lefty.
Absolutely. Very, very encouraging to see for Dickerson. For Boston yesterday, it was the middle of the order that really got the job done as Andrew Benintendi hit 2 doubles yesterday, going 3-for-5, getting that average back up there. Mookie Betts had a nice day at the plate, 3-for-4, got picked off first base, though. Hanley was 2-for-3. Pablo Sandoval hit his 3rd home run of the season.
And how about Mitch Moreland? He keeps on hitting too.
Moreland, absolutely.
He keeps producing as well. Yeah, I mean, Panthers got 3 homers. I mean, a guy that I really didn't even look at. I mean, it was an AL only asset to me. But like you said, he's got 3 homers. I'm just not a fan. I don't really see the upside with Sandoval. I guess maybe in the Red Sox lineup, but not a guy for me.
Where was I going? Oh, Boston, the hitting-wise, have been got it through the woods with this flu, where the entire team was sick. So it's very tough to take anything out of that. While Tampa Bay, just trying to get over 500, haven't only one game away from the drop. These two teams will finish off their series. Remember, today, this morning, 11:05, Patriots Day up in Boston. It's that early start. Lineup's got to be set by 11 a.m., everybody.
Well, now let me ask you a question.
We're probably going to have a lineup soon, speaking of that.
In your league, is it all lineups lock at 11 or just that game locks?
In my league where I have weekly lineup locks, everything locks at 11.
See, really?
That I'm not a fan of.
Yeah.
I just don't understand.
Yeah. We do have a raised lineup here, Corey.
There you go.
Raised lineup is out 11 o'clock in the morning. Would you like me to read it for you?
Sure.
All right. Leading us off, Corey Dickerson. Considering they're facing the right-hander Stephen Wright, he's probably going to get bombed. He probably should put in the Rays. Corey Dickerson leads us off. Kevin Kiermaier batting 2nd, the 2 lefties. Evan Longoria 3rd at 3rd base. 4th, Brad Miller at 5th. Steven Souza playing 1st base, batting 6th, Logan Morrison. The DH today, Ricky Weeks Jr. Batting 8th is Derek Norris, batting 9th, the shortstop, Tim Beckham. Here you go.
I mean,
it's a lineup.
Yeah, I mean,
not much excitement there.
Ricky Weeks playing against the right-hander was interesting, using lefties, but you know, maybe with the knuckleball, they want to put him in there. Maybe he's got good success versus knuckleballs. I don't know. I think this should be another high offensive game we're looking at. I mean, I kind of hope not. I think in one of the leagues with me and Vaccaro, I think we're rolling out Stephen Wright in the two-start week. So, you know, we'll see what happens. It's going to be interesting.
Yeah, it certainly is. You know, once we have Boston's lineup, we'll be sure to give it to you.
No doubt.
Hey, you think David Ortiz will be in the house today?
Who?
David Ortiz.
Big Bobby?
Yeah, I would think so. This is kind of like the holiday.
It's the holiday.
Thing.
He gave his famous speech on Patriots Day, right? That was Patriots Day, right?
It was right after.
After the Boston bombing.
It was like that Saturday when he dropped that.
The F-bomb.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Philadelphia and Washington yesterday. Washington won 6-4. Did the Nats. And, well, probably should have put in Genmar.
My Washington Nats.
Probably should have put in Genmar. I'm just kidding. I shouldn't have put in Genmar. But Joaquin Benoit did just as good of a job as Genmar did because he blows his first save of the year and really spoils a nice outing from Jared Eichhoff. 6 innings, 8 hits, 3 runs, struck out 5. The bullpen in front of Benoit, which features Jolie Rodriguez and Pat Neshek, both pitch well. And Benoit comes in 2/3 of an inning, and he absolutely blows it all on the 3-run bomb by Bryce Harper.
Yeah, Bryce Harper had himself a nice day yesterday. It was Benoit's, first game that he allowed runs. I did bid on him in my Las Vegas main. I wasn't so excited to, but I figured my thought on the process is, they really don't want to give it to Hector Neris right now.
Yep.
I mean, unless Benoit goes old Genmar on us, then that could all change. But I bid.
He went on Genmar yesterday. But that was Bryce Harper, though. You know what I mean? You can't blame him for that.
Yeah, I did bid 313, and I won it. The runner-up bid was 312, so maybe, you know.
So I'd like to know what my runner-up bids are. That'd be nice to see.
You don't get to see
No,
rapids.
I don't get to see that either. Just
that you should be able to see.
Thank you.
That would annoy the hell out of me.
It does annoy me. It annoys the crap out of me.
That I totally get. I, you know,
I want to know how far off I was.
It's like on that one, even though I'm not like, I mean, super excited that I got Benoit, I think he could be an asset for a couple of months.
Right.
But it's nice to know that even though I bid a little more than I wanted to bid.
You got him.
I was right. Like it was 313
to 312. Exactly.
Nice job.
By the way, Friday night, Genmar had another shot in the late innings. It didn't go well.
No. Well, they messed with his confidence now. What do you expect?
Well, he went in the 10th inning. You know, they gave him a shot.
Genmar just can't help himself.
No, Genmar can't help himself. Gio, 7 1/3 yesterday. 5 hits, 3 runs. Only 2 of them were earned. Struck out 2. This is the good Gio Gonzalez. Like, if you get this line, you're very happy, I think.
Oh, without a doubt. We saw the good Gio last April, and then he went away. So let's see if he's going to stay, you know.
Got to be very careful with him.
Coda Glover pitches the 8th, allows a hit, and that's how the last Gio runs came in. Or really, everything but the solo shot from Cesar Hernandez, which led off the game. That's all the other runs scored for Gio. Blake Treinen comes in. He doesn't pitch well either. It was Sean Kelly that pitches 2 pitches, gets out of it. This bullpen is still a mess in Washington.
Yeah, the Blake Treinen era has not gone well. It's been very turbulent. He pretty much allows a run every. I mean, at some point, do they give Sean Kelly an opportunity? I know the fear is they don't think he can do it back-to-back days. But on back-to-back days, you know, maybe give it to Coda Glover.
I'm telling you, Joe Nathan's going to be the closer of this team at some point.
I honestly think you're probably right because that's just so dusty. It's coming.
Joe Nathan's coming. I'm telling you right now. As I said, Cesar Hernandez led off the game with a home run. He also stole a base yesterday. Cesar, people were high on him, Matt.
People were. I will say I was not.
As a middle infield option, given where he was getting drafted, people were in on Cesar Hernandez.
And he's coming through so far.
He is. Average is 346. OBP is 393. Thus far this year, he's got 3 home runs. He's got a couple of RBIs here. He's got a couple of steals. Like, Cesar Hernandez leading off for the Phillies in a good ballpark. He's doing a little bit of everything right now.
After 2 weeks, I look dead wrong on this player. I'll always admit when I'm wrong. Well, let's see how it plays out. But after 2 weeks, it's not looking good. His success rate was not good stealing bases last year. I don't know where the hell this power's coming from.
Well, I do want to check myself here. He had just one stolen base And that was came yesterday. But the percentage rise, you're right, because he got one and he got caught stealing once, and that was it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking at all these little guys hitting home runs. I mean, and the Seahawks got like four now.
Bryce Harper.
On my towels.
He's pretty damn good. Two bombs yesterday for his fourth,
including the three-run walk-off.
Including the three-run walk-off. That's crazy. Man, that was good.
You have to be a fan of Bryce Harper.
Take a break. We'll come back. We'll talk to Zach Britton. We'll talk bidding for Brian Brock as well. I want to know how it went in NFBC. We'll talk about that next. Here's the Roto Experts in the Morning.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
In the beginning, there was darkness. Then, out of the void, came fire, smoke, Roto. Fantasy excellence begins here.
This is your time.
The Roto Experts in the Morning starts now.
Number two, Roto Experts in the Morning, Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Brad Brock, the story, one of the stories of today. So we're leading up the 9 o'clock hour with him, and it actually leads me to a really good fantasy question that I wanted to get both of your opinions on and advice. So here's where I'm at. So I play in a league, gentlemen, where I get max pickers per week because they don't want you picking literally a starting pitcher every single day. Like, they wanted to limit that. That was the goal. So you couldn't just get the counting stats. So at one point, we started at three pickups because three is like one of those round numbers. And we eventually got to four. So you get four pickups per week in this league.
Now, is that just pitchers or pitchers and hitters?
Four pickups total.
Okay.
If we wanted to do pitchers, which would have solved the problem, they'd be on the commissioner to track that every week. And, you know, I got a job. All right? I got a job. I got stuff to do. So, last week, for instance, I picked up a pitcher on Saturday, James Shields, as I said in the first hour. I picked him up for Sunday. And then Sunday morning, I woke up, and I was dropping James Shields, because I wasn't holding on to him. And I was going to pick up this guy, Brett Anderson, who I wanted. I wanted to have Brett Anderson for this week. The matchup was fine for him. Pitches for the Cubs. All I'm asking for is five innings and a win, and that's it. And it seemed realistic. I was going to do that Sunday morning because I really wanted to make sure I got Brent Anderson. Like, I watched him pitch last week. I watched him pitch in this very seat, pitch against the Dodgers. I'm like, he pitched real, pitch really well. Like, I want him. But it was my last pickup of the week, so I didn't rush into it. And instead, I was like, well, what if one of my guys get hurt? What if I lose a closer? What if something happens? I only have one pickup left. So at around noon yesterday, this news drops about, or 11:30, this news drops about Zach Britton going on the DL with forearm soreness. And forearm soreness is code for, we have no idea what's wrong with him yet. So hopefully it's nothing, but it could be anything. And remember, people last week, there were whispers about Zach Britton a little bit, that he wasn't as sharp. What's going on? Now he's got some forearm soreness. So with my last pickup yesterday, I picked up Brian Brock. Got him. Great. Four pickups done. I'm all good with that. I wake up this morning. I wake up earlier than everybody else does, prepping for the show. So I dropped Tony Barnett, that scrub, and I picked up Brett Anderson like I wanted. That's one pickup. I have three left. It's Monday morning at 9 a.m. Nothing has happened yet. So my question to you guys is, how should somebody that is in a league where you have a limited number of pickups, how should you manage that? Like, we talked about Avisel Garcia. Like, I want to drop Brandon Drury for Avisel Garcia. I do that. I only have two pickups left for the entire week. Maybe that's fine, maybe it's not, but it puts me in a position where I'm behind the eight ball a little bit. Would you guys manage that if you were me?
If it's me, I mean, I do like this rule, because I think it'll help you in the long run, because you're quick to cut people, so it'll force you not to.
For sure.
So, but my thing here is, you took the pitcher you wanted this week. You're getting the start tomorrow.
Yep.
Is it a two-start week for him?
It's not. Okay. But if I pitch as well, I'll hold on to him and I'll have a two-start next week. So that's why I wanted to get in on him.
So you got your pitcher, so I'm fine with that. That's one. The second thing is, if you drop Drury now and you take Avisel Garcia, you have Garcia for the week.
Yeah.
So you have your batter and your pitcher. I would definitely hold off from making another drop. I would, like you did yesterday, you had that one
for Sunday.
one's got to remain till the weekend. You know, yeah, I would want to have one just for, you know, stuff like that. I mean, Brad Brock, we don't know if he's the guy. We don't know the real situation with Britton, but if Brad Brock's the guy, I really like him. A Britton, you know, I don't know. It's all speculation right now.
Corey, what about you when you have a limited number of pickups for a week? How would you manage that?
I need to. Well, you got to make smart decisions. You got to make the right decisions. Even though it's all every shiny new toy does not need to be on your team. You have to stop. You know, you can't really go out there when you're going doing your fab. It's like you're picking players. You have to pick players that fit right on your team and can give you the numbers to help you win. You can't just go grab somebody because they're the next big thing. So I kind of look at it. I kind of put I prioritize how much I need the player or the category help that they bring to me. So that's how I look at it.
I think that's the exact way to look at it.
That's a good point. So for you then, Corey, is Avisel Garcia one of these guys that I should be spending a pickup on today?
What do you need from Avisel?
Just for him to be better than Brandon Drury.
I think you should do that then. Avisel is off to a shiny start. 25-year-old outfielder.
I think I look at how many games they play. Maybe that may help me out.
That's a good thing, but I mean,
Avisel is batting in the middle of the order now.
Yeah,
too, right?
I think you should just make this move regardless.
Right, yeah, I agree.
All right, you guys.
I agree.
You guys, I'm doing it right now. You guys can
do it.
You guys have done it. Let's talk about Brad Brock a little bit, and let's.
He's owned already. He was owned already.
There's some wild bidding that went on last night.
I can imagine wild. So, but in top, he was owned already.
Yeah, no, but I'm not surprised by that. Yeah. I mean, this
Tim
is
McCullough
a guy,
owned him.
The strikeout rate that he had, too. I mean, what do you offer? This is a really good, you know, closure. I mean, I think he's the guy that gets the job. I mean, I don't think they're going to go to Michael Givens yet. Darren O'Day, to me, is perfect in the role that he has. I mean, to me, it's Brad Brock's job. I mean, unless, you know, Buck wants to get wild on us and throws a curveball, but I don't see that happening.
O'Day was picked up in some leagues last night.
Yeah, that makes sense because you're not necessarily positive that it'll be Brad Brock.
Yep.
Yeah, I would think, though, Givens maybe gets the shot over O'Day. If I was going to speculate,
I agree.
It would be Brock,
interesting.
Givens,
O'Day. Yeah.
I tend to agree. I now am the proud owner of Avisel Garcia, everybody.
Nice. Wait a minute. Hold on, 1 second.
Yeah.
No, wait a minute.
We just clapped. What do you mean?
He did it. Hold it's done.
It's over.
There's no going back.
You just picked him up just now?
You told me to.
But it was no process to pick up a guy batting .465 with two home runs?
Right.
Hitting in the middle of the order? It was just, let me go click a button and pick him up?
Yeah.
That's disgusting.
That's all I got. I
will say this. At least every owner has only four moves per week.
That's it.
So I definitely look, if you're gonna play with daily pickups and stuff,
it
I definitely
should
like
be some kind of process, but everybody is allowed at the same chance.
I mean I agree. That's how I like to play, but you have to set the league rules on how you like to play.
I understand.
Yeah, go have a Sal Garcia.
Congratulations.
So Zach Britton. We have no idea what's going on with him. Buck Showalter hopes he's back next week, but basically admitted he has no idea. There's going to be a battery of tests for Zach Britton. We know that. We hope the results are positive. Not positive for anything. Positive,
yeah,
just,
no,
you know, nature.
Yeah, I mean, look, I honestly tweeted out yesterday, I really have no idea what to do with Brad Brock. I said to myself, I'm going to put in like a 10% bid. Just because if this is anything that's longer, and look, it's a strained forearm. That's never something I really want to hear about any of my pitchers. So I put in my New York main, pretty much the same bid I put in on, what's his name from Toronto? Jason Gurley, I'm calling.
That's right.
But pretty much the same bid on him.
Yep.
And that didn't work. But you know what? Okay. Time for him to go. And I put 113 in. I think the runner-up bid was 104. I'm totally fine with that. If this doesn't work in 20 days, 10 days, Britton's back and he's fine. Okay, but on the flip side, if it does work, I got a closer that's a high-end strikeout guy for $113, which is pretty cheap.
So
compared to what he went to last night, I felt good about that.
So I'll tell you this. So last night, I'm talking about closers, and Nando mentioned, sent me your tweet, actually, from 9:35 yesterday when we were talking. So in your Vegas main event, you won Benoit 3:13 to 3:12, as you mentioned on the show, and Brad Brock went for 4:11. And the week before, we had spent on Jason Gurley, which obviously, as you just said, went quite poorly. And we spent $131 on Jason Gurley. And it, as you said, it didn't work. When it comes to Brock, who we have no idea what to be, Brad Brock, that was the wrong league. I was like, holy crap, if that's from all, and then that was changing my whole narrative here. Brad Brock in this league, once it loads, I'll tell you exactly what it went for, because I saw this, and then now it's not refreshing, of course. But in the Greta Street Tavern League, Brock went for this similar amount, was the point I was trying to get to, as Gurley, because no one really knows the deal. Nando, he gave a good line that if we spend $411, as one would suggest, that means we think we're getting like 30 saves out of him, because that's half our budget left here. I don't know why CBS is going so slow this morning. This is absurd.
Yeah, well, like you, like
I'm trying to just get there. Okay, here we go. So Brock, we spent $131 on Jason Gurley. Brad Brock went for $133.
Wow.
So, like you, really exactly as you pointed out, a very similar thing. You take a stab at that number.
Yeah, I mean, I think you got to go back to it. I mean, it depends on the pitcher. When I heard about Ozuna, I wasn't sure with the neck. Maybe he'd be back in 10 days. He was. Okay. I lost that. I'm not going to say, okay, I'm done. This is a guy that I like. Brad Brock, like Corey said, he's owned in 15-team leagues, like in Tout War leagues. And he's owned in other NFBC leagues. So I'm going to take the shot, especially when I hear, like, you hear straight forearm strain. That is alarming. We don't, and the coach don't know. The coach is saying he might be back in 10 days. I see people on Twitter saying, oh, people are bidding like he's going to be gone for 3 months. If there's anything that comes up with the hint to suggest of anything in his arm, in his forearm, he's going to be out for at least a month, like 4 to 6 weeks. So, I mean, I don't really know what to say yet. And that's what I even tweeted out yesterday. I really don't know what the hell I bid on this guy. So I'm pretty much going to bid what I bid on Jason Gurley. If I get him, fine. I mean, like I said, $411, that's a lot of money.
It's too much.
You know, I mean, I bid a lot of money on Joe Ross that he was available in the league, that he shouldn't have been in the league. But Joe Ross, I'm expecting 25 starts out of. You know, I don't think there's another arm that's coming into the league that's going to pitch on a team like the Nationals in the National League East. So that's why I spent over 40%. I was and I overbid, because the next bid was like 147.
Don't you hate when that
Derek
happens?
Derek Pearson. He was like, I bid 147 on Ross. I said, well, just a spoiler alert, you're not going to get him. I figured at least somebody was going to go like 25% to 30%, to 35%.
That's, and I hate when that happens to me. You know, they have some leagues where you get the money back.
I see, no. Yeah. Like, I think it's Tout.
Tout does
it's
that,
It's called,
yeah.
like, Vickery or whatever.
Yeah, uh-huh.
Where, like, say...
Victory Fab,
say Greg
like
bid $411 on...
Like you did.
Brad Brock. Well, I didn't do that on Brad Brock.
Okay, yeah.
Joe Ross, I bid a lot of money on. But say he bid $411, and I bid $256.
Yeah.
He gets him for $257.
Exactly.
I'm not down with that.
You get that.
I'm not down with that. I'm not down with zero bids.
Yeah.
You're not down with zero bids, huh?
No. And I'm not down with if your player gets hurt, you get money back. Like,
So I'm not down with that. That's BS. Like, that's fantasy. Right? Yeah. You gotta get hurt, you gotta get hurt. Like, you don't get your money back if a guy loses his job. Why would you, like, I win with money back?
Yeah, you shouldn't
do
that.
How do you feel about the bid? Like I said, if you bid 411 and I bid 256 and now you get it for 257, if you're the guy bidding, that's great.
That's BS.
Yeah.
That's completely BS. Like, I bid 411. That's what I was comfortable paying. Just because you bid $200 less than me doesn't mean I get them for $1 more. That's BS. Yeah,
why is that BS?
Because I'm going to bid $1,000 for every player then.
You know, I mean, yeah, but I mean, not to that extreme, but you can bid much more aggressively and not face the punishment.
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying?
Makes sense.
It's tough. I had to make a decision in my biggest league yesterday. Ender Inciarte and Joe Ross were there because somebody cut them for Mark Reynolds and Clayton Richard. And these are guys I want.
Right.
I mean, look, and there was the other day, you could give me average speed runs. And Joe Ross, like for what I just stated, I see this guy on a really good team in the National League East. So I spent a hell of a lot of money. I don't have a hell of a lot of money left, but I think I've given myself, at least with my pitching, I feel really good. And I got a player that I don't know if another guy's coming around like that. I mean, there could be somebody on the waiver wire that you can get for, say, $30 that may outperform him. But you don't know that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't know. You know, and look at this new park. It looks like it might play very well for the offense out in SunTrust.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Now, how come you don't like $0 bids?
Because, you know, you have to manage that money. It's, you know, I put myself in a huge hole in a really tough big league. And let's see. Maybe I just screwed myself. Maybe I just totally ruined my whole season.
But I don't think, but like, to me, I don't think you shouldn't be able to like pick up players anymore. Like, I get it. Like, I understand what you're saying. I think you should be allowed to pick up players even at the end. Like, I get it. Like, all right, use all your money by August. You're screwed now.
Yeah, I don't know. I look at it as, you know, when your money's out, your money's out. That's
right.
That's one of the toughest things. Because you want to wear it makes a real difference. Like that last month. And it's happened to me on several occasions. You know, I've run out of money. And, you know, my first time in the main event, I was in first place going into September. Then, I fell into second. Final weekend, you know, that final week, we were tied. I had no more money. The other guy had money. Thursday night, we were tied. We went into the weekend. He beat me by like 3 points. I couldn't pick up anybody else that final weekend.
Sorry that happened to you.
Oh, yeah. It still burns me.
Yeah.
It still burns me.
I hate when that happens.
It was like 4 or 5 years ago.
And
I still haven't gotten over
it. In mixed tout yesterday, the last night, the player that went for the most was Francisco Liriano.
And how much did he go for?
$233,000.
Well, I probably would have bid even more. See, that's the thing. It's tough knowing how to bid. That's
I bid $113,000.
Yeah, I mean, I would think Liriano is worth at least 25% to maybe, you know, for me, more 35-40, because I think this is a guy that's going to get you the strikeout. Look, he had that horrendous start the season. Saltamacchia was in. I don't think you're going to see Jared Saltamacchia catching when he's on the mound anymore. I mean, I think Ben's got the message.
Guess who got?
Mr. Adam Ronis.
Adam Ronis.
Yeah, well, I mean, look, he bid what, 256?
He bid 233.
Look, I think he got a really good deal there. I look at guys like, say, Brett Honeywell, who I think, from what I see...
That's an interesting name right there.
Yeah, for a guy I saw pitch in the Arizona Fall League in the Fall Star game, looked tremendous with that Scroogey, and he's just got he's two great starts in minors, got bumped up to AAA. He's probably coming. Now, if you want him, you're going to be bidding a few hundred dollars. He's pitching in the American League East. He's going to be his first taste of major league pitching. He's going to be on an innings limit. My thought process was, you know what? Nets need Joe Ross. He's going to be, you know, how I think. And sometimes I thought Rona's got him for a steal at 2:30.
Nice.
We'll talk more about the games from yesterday, including Jay Happ and his injury as well.
We have to discuss that.
We're going to talk about Jay Happ because that was in that Orioles-Blue Jays game. We didn't really get into it. Let's talk about Jay Happ. Let's talk more. Blue Jays-Orioles on the other side of this break. I also want to talk about Trey Mancini, too. This is the Roto Experts in the Morning on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Injury issues yesterday around the major leagues, and that is what leads us to Jay Happ, who had left elbow soreness. Left the game in the fifth inning yesterday. He's pitching well. In that pitching to the fifth, only left four hits. Run, struck out three. The only run he allowed was in that fifth inning, which is, I believe, after he left even. So he was pitching really, really well. And how serious is Jay Happ's injury?
That's what we're going to find out. They're going to do tests today. I mean, this is a guy who, in 16 innings, had struck out 20 batters and walked zero. So this is a major blow. This was one of the reasons why I thought Toronto, if Josh Donaldson wasn't out for long, could could maybe come back, sustain this bad start, because I did like their pitching. But if J.A. Happ is out for an extended period of time, they just lost Aaron Sanchez to a blister injury.
Yep.
That's only be one start, but, you know.
Unless he's Rich Hill.
Yeah, you know, unless, the super, unless it turns into a super blister, as we now call it. But, yeah, I'm if I'm the Blue Jays, now I'm really concerned. My season's going up in smoke awful fast.
Yeah, yeah, because they have injury concerns that they have to worry about. And this one right here would be a tough blow for them to deal with. And, you know, even though he doesn't have no wins, the 20s are early in the season. So, Mr. Happ, people are going to have crossed fingers today.
Yeah.
Await the results. There is the bullpen that blew it for Toronto yesterday. Dylan Bundy, Summer Bundy, baby. 6 innings, 5 hits, walk, 6 strikeouts. Dylan Bundy looking good.
Yes, he is looking good. I think he's probably a very popular DFS play yesterday. It was for people that wanted to get the bats in. And he definitely delivered. I mean, this kid is what the Orioles need. They need Gausman to be there right with him. I don't know about the rest of their rotation. That's always going to be the issue. But hey, I mean, hitting home runs, runs to beat. Toronto's bad start is everything Baltimore needs.
Four, yes, score, right?
Boston's lineup is out.
I was going to do that right after we finish this game up. Four, Baltimore. Trey Mancini hits 2 more home runs yesterday, mm-hmm. up to 4. Mancini played first yesterday, goes 3 for 5, up 364 with those 4 home runs. Is Trey Mancini for real?
I don't know if he's for real. I mean, in a deep league, I took some shots. I threw some money at him, you know, nothing major, you know, 5%, 7%, just to see. You know what? Last season, he came up for like the very end. So in 38 major league plate appearances, he has 7 home runs. The guy's hit like 4 in like the last couple of games. I don't know if it's I would check that bat out because he hit 2 homers with that bat. Gentry took the bat. He hit a homer. Machado said, let me use that bat. He hit a homer.
It's crazy. It's absolutely crazy. For Toronto, Kevin Pillar, he hit his first home of the season yesterday. Craig Gentry went 2 for 5. He got a bunch of RBIs as well. Jonathan Scope was 2 for 5, up to 289 after a hot week, rebounding from that bad first week. You look at this beat-up Toronto lineup without Josh Donaldson, and it's just not the same lineup when you take Donaldson out of it.
No, it's really hurting. It's really, you know, things are just going from bad to worse in Toronto. The good thing for the people of Toronto is that the Maple Leafs are in the hockey playoffs, and they're 1-1, so nobody really cares, I guess, right now about the Blue Jays. So
let's get into the Red Sox lineup, gentlemen. We gave you the Rays before. Of course, this game first pitch is at 11:05 Eastern. Just an hour and a half away. We got some morning baseball. That's nice. We can sit here. We can watch baseball all day, Corey.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I'm looking forward to it.
Leading off for the Reds and the lefties. You notice Chris Young in this lineup. Leading off, Dustin Pedroia batting first and leadoff batting second. Andrew Benintendi playing center field today. At batting third, playing right field, it's the Mook Man, Mookie Betts. And this is the lefty lineup because you have Benintendi obviously in center. Hanley Ramirez DHs. He's batting fourth. Xander Bogaerts bats fifth. He's the shortstop batting sixth. The first baseman, Mitch Moreland, batting sixth against the lefty. Chris Young is in there playing left field, batting seventh. Batting eighth, Sandy Leone, the catcher. And that means there's no Panda Bear against the lefty. Pablo Sandoval out. Marco Hernandez is in, batting ninth. I just like that. It was a good dramatic.
Nice
play.
Job,
yeah,
with that.
Can't appreciate
that. That was, you know, this game. I'm hoping Stephen Wright, for the places that I have him, can get his act together after that.
So you have Stephen Wright in a lot of places. We also have Kevin Kiermaier. What do you hope happens? Do you hope Kiermaier hits like 5 home runs, like 3 home runs as the only runs that he lets up?
Oh, I don't have Wright in a lot of places. I do have him rolling in a double slot with Vaccaro.
Okay,
I mean. It's tough. What I would like to see is maybe Wright give up like 2 runs, get the win.
All to Kiermaier.
Yeah, yeah. That's what Joey's wanting. Look, like if my starting pitcher is going to give up a home run, at least give up a solo home run to my guy.
Right.
Like the other day when Jacob DeGrom was pitching, he had a tremendous performance, but he had 2 bad pitches, which were back-to-back solo homers. And neither of them were Giancarlo Stanton. I was like, you're killing me.
Killing me. Absolutely killing me. So, speaking of Giancarlo Stanton, It has been a rough sports weekend for you, Matt.
Oh, yeah.
It was really, really rough because I went to a bar. You ever understand how hard it is to go to a bar without that, be able to drink a beer, by the way? It is not easy. That was me on Friday. So I went to a bar to watch. There was a lot of sports on. The Yankees were on. The Mets were on. The Rangers were on. I was like, oh, I want to go to a bar and watch these games. So I went to a bar on Friday night and watched the games.
Who'd you go with?
My friend, Jared.
No, I'm just asking. Yeah. Why are you getting so offended? I'm just worried about just one who you went with.
My friend Jared. We had the spinach artichoke dip. I had a buffalo chicken.
Nice.
Yeah, it was good. And they couldn't drink beer. They had 2-for-1 drinks, so I had that, so that was okay.
Okay.
And the waitress was a darling.
Nice.
Yeah.
Darling, I like that.
She was. She was good. She's a good spice. Check it out, Corey. Anyway, so we're
I will.
So we're sitting there, and, you know, Friday doesn't end well for the Mets. Saturday doesn't end well. Sunday doesn't end well for the Mets.
Good.
After winning in 16 innings on Thursday night, it all went downhill. And, of course, on a Friday night, Matt, Rangers 17 seconds away from going up 2-0. Now they're down 2-1 here as we sit on Tuesday, on Monday morning.
Quick take on the Rangers. I think the series ended when they let up that goal.
17 seconds.
They did not come back last. I mean, at home, 1-1, they were lifeless. You know, that's just inexcusable.
Yesterday, yes, sir.
But wait, real quick on the Mets, the weekend, just to highlight it, wrap a bow on that. There was talks, I think it was Adam Rubin or somebody, I'm not really sure, but somebody said that we can ease Jerry's Familia back into the role after this weekend of blowing 3 leads. I'm not so sure that happens anymore. I think he gets inserted right back in.
Yeah. I think, wait a minute.
Yes.
Put him in your lineup this week?
In my lineup this week? I think he's still got another, what are we at, 10 games? I wouldn't put him in. Maybe he comes back at the end of the week. I don't know how many games the Mets are exactly playing, but it's got to be 15. So maybe they give him one game and they throw him in the eighth.
Yeah.
So next week he should be in.
So next week he's in. Yeah. This week you would hold tight.
The Metropolitans, Corey.
I hate him.
I know. But Matt likes him.
I'm sorry.
Yesterday, Dan Straley, 5 1/3, got pulled from a no-hitter, Corey.
Really?
Yeah.
That's what happens when you walk 5 guys. Too.
Yeah, but
you walk 5 guys, you strike out 5.
No, that's not. Yeah.
0 hits allowed in the 6th inning, and they pull him in the middle of the inning.
Yeah, Nick, I mean, you're walking people.
But he didn't allow a hit.
You don't deserve it.
He didn't allow a whole hit.
He didn't deserve it.
Yeah, I was pretty furious when I seen that he was throwing a no-hitter. I was like, damn it. This guy's crap.
So the crazy thing is, you get through 6, Kyle Barraclough comes in, you get through 7. And now Brad Ziegler comes on, and he allows the first 2 hits of the game for the Mets, and it was David Phelps that blows it, and then winds up getting the win because Addison Reed couldn't hold on.
Yeah,
they really do hate A.J. Ramos in Miami. But the other thing, you said they won that 16-inning marathon on Thursday night. Great start to the weekend. They throw out Thor, DeGrom, and Harvey. Over their 19 innings pitch, they allow 4 earned runs, strike out 22 batters, allow 3 walks, and go 0-3. That's pretty crazy. That's not an easy thing to do.
No, it's really not. You gave the line here. That's crazy. For the Marlins to be able to do that, to face off against all 3 of them and get out like this, very impressive.
And just real quick, as much love as everybody's given Eric Thames.
Yep.
Marcelo Ozuna is just, woo.
Ozuna on the year, 3-4 yesterday, 404 average, a 453 OBP. I have to admit, you talk about people that you're wrong on. Marcelo Ozuna is one of those guys. I have not been on Ozuna. I saw an article last week, maybe, it was 2 weeks ago. Is Marcelo Ozuna the new UN assessment? I was like, this is crazy. He was not somebody I was in on this year or last year. Like, he's never a guy I want. Dead wrong, at least for the first couple of weeks of the season.
Yeah, first couple of weeks, he's done everything his owners could ask.
No question about it. Harvey's line yesterday was 6 innings, 7 hits, 2 runs, 1 of them were earned. He struck out 5. Addison Reed blows it. Familia comes back Thursday?
Yeah, it's going to be later on in the week. I don't know the exact day.
Well, it's the Mets don't play today, do they?
The Mets do play today.
They do play today. There's only two more games he has to miss. 15 games. There's only two more games he has to miss.
Okay. So, you know what? Maybe then... maybe I start him. The Mets have a full schedule this week, right?
They play seven?
I believe.
And then they play six this week.
So that means they're off Thursday?
The Mets play six games this week.
Mets play six games this week?
Five right-handers, one lefty.
I would probably still keep him out then. Maybe they do go like one game. They throw him in the eighth inning just to get it, you know. Yeah.
Because it looks like... you sure the Mets still play seven games this week?
I'm pretty. I feel like the Mets play six games this week.
Okay, let's look. I'm on the app. Give me one second.
Oh, I was right. I was right.
They do play seven games.
No,
this
they
week?
Don't play today, Matt.
Oh, okay.
they play tomorrow then. Today.
Yeah, so they don't play tomorrow. So games 14 and 15 are Tuesday, Wednesday. Familia will be back Thursday and for the weekend. So there you go.
Yeah. So yeah, I think you wait till next week.
I think you wait till next week.
I mean, yeah, if you desperately want to try and get a save chance, but
right,
if
you're desperate,
I would wait.
I agree. I'm with you. All right, I'll take another break here on the Roto Experts in the morning. We'll come back. I'll talk about how hot the Yankees are, Corey, because we haven't gotten to them. They're the hottest team in baseball right now. Did you know that?
No, I did not know that.
Yeah, the hottest team in baseball. The Yankees sit. They've won seven games in a row. They are currently 8-4. Tied for, you know, one of the best records in the league. Well, not best record. Colorado.
Hot fire.
Colorado has best record in the league. They have 9 wins. But 8-4, feel pretty good. They have not lost in the Bronx, Corey.
That's what the home field does for
That's
you.
What's called home field advantage, yeah. Talk about the New York Yankees. Two start with Jordan Montgomery. We'll talk about it next here on the Roto Experts. You know who sings this song, gentlemen?
Huh?
You know who sings this song?
Nah, who's this?
This is NSYNC with Nelly.
Sounds alright.
Would you be my girlfriend? I'll be your shining star. Nope, I'm doing it for you.
I'm glad we have it recorded now, bro. Okay.
The... got a great message during the break where Corey told me I bid $69 for Jimmy Nelson. The next highest bid is $68. It's called the perfect bid. Makes me feel really happy. It's a nice job, Corey.
You know, 1 year I bid, this is the NFFC, I bid $330 for Brandon Bolden, Patriot running back Brandon Bolden. The next bid was like $2. I bid $330. I played him that week. I think he may have gotten a donut. He didn't touch the football, right? The next week, I put a dollar on Jonas Gray. Somebody put $4 on him.
Four touchdowns?
He scored four touchdowns.
Yeah.
It's so crazy. I mean, it really is one of the most difficult things. Is what to bid, how to bid. How people believe in conserving their money. Some believe go at it early. I think it's the player. And sometimes you're just going to be wrong.
When you're playing for an overall, and in your league, a guy is one for $60, and in another league, the guy is one for $460. That's not really fair when you're really competing for the overall. You feel what I'm saying?
My argument would be is, you know, just because it's fair to me because maybe that league, maybe your league wound up being easier than the other guy's league. You don't know that. You know what I'm saying? It plays out. It's so random and so difficult. I can't really, you know, I couldn't sit there and go through the whole thing.
Go talk about the New York Yankees now.
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. The New York Yankees, who are 8-4, they won seven games in a row. Last night, they put a whooping on the Cardinals. How do you feel about that, Corey?
I mean, it is what it is. I'm glad to see the St. Louis Cardinals lose. I have no problem with that.
Not only did they beat St. Louis Cardinals, they swept the St. Louis Cardinals.
They swept the St. Louis Cardinals. You know what I mean? The pristine St. Louis Cardinals. And Adam, who's on my Tower Wars TV, is not getting it done.
No, he's not getting it done at all.
Would you cut him?
In a 15-teamer, I mean, what would be... I'd have to say, what is my option if I cut him? Maybe I'd bench him if I had to, but who am I picking up?
That's what I mean. I don't own him. I'm throwing it out there. Yeah. Zach Greinke's on my team. I don't think it's worth time to cut him yet either.
I will say, as good as the Yankees have looked this weekend, I'm not taking anything away from the Yankees.
I feel like you're about to take something away from the Yankees.
Because I know it's going to sound. I'm just, the Cardinals just look totally.
No, yeah, like that. They really do. Waino yesterday did not make it 5 innings. Allowed 10 hits, 4 runs, 4 strikeouts. He was as polarizing as they come in the spring. So far, the detractors proving right. Only 3 starts to get that. Wainwright has not looked good through his first several starts. Pineda, though, he has 7 innings, 6 hits, 2 runs, struck out 6. Let up a single in the second inning, a solo shot in the seventh. Overall, 2 starts in a row. Pineda has looked good. No surprise, those 2 starts, both with Austin Romine behind the plate.
Yeah, I mean, Big Mike, it's crazy to think that when last season ended, out of 73 qualified Major League starting pitchers, Big Mike ranked 67th in ERA. You know, you see how good he's pitching right now?
Yep.
And we all know it could turn. I mean, maybe he rides it out and continues the. But it's just so, like, it's kind of the wonders of baseball.
Kind of the wonders of baseball, indeed, indeed. Aaron Judge last night, 1-for-3 with a triple. 2 runs scored. Walk probably should have been a double because it was a ground rule double that became a triple. You had Chase Headley, who is. I don't understand it, Corey. I don't get it.
He sucks.
No.
I mean, but no. Still, trust me.
Yeah, usually.
He's going to suck.
For these 2 weeks, he does not suck.
He's
at
going
all.
To suck, dude.
His OBP is 531.
He's going to suck.
Jacoby Ellsbury is 0-for-3. Starling Castro 2-for-5. Is Aaron Hicks also going to suck?
I don't think Aaron Hicks is going to suck.
2-for-3 with another home run yesterday. He's third of the year. He did get caught stealing the second time this year.
At least he's trying.
Jacoby Ellsbury did not do well either. Ellsbury got picked off. That was annoying. But it's okay. Greg Bird. No one had a response, so whatever. Greg Bird, his first home run of the year. Finally, Greg Bird does something. 3-for-3 last night.
He needed that night. He really, you know, sometimes you say all players go through it. Like I said, he had the injury, the flu, all that, but he really needed to have a good night, and it came through. That was a nice home run he hit. I mean,
with Gary Sanchez out at least into next month, Austin Romine becomes somebody that's in 2 catcher leagues. You're probably picking up.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think he's definitely a person of interest.
Mm-hmm. For the Cardinals, not much doing. You got the solo shot by Yachty, and that's about it.
That was it, really. Just solid effort, solid outing, you know what I'm saying, by the Yankee arm. So, you know, and then my guy Dexter Fowler. Oh, man, come on, bro. Jeez, you got to do better
than just
that.
A quick note on the season for Michael Pineda. I think he's now at like 23 strikeouts to like 1 walk.
That's a hell of a strikeout to walk ratio. Probably should remember that for East Mike Lyon.
It's even better than Clayton Kershaw. It's 22-1.
What's crazy, when we talked about, like, we make fun of him before that second start and he went crazy. The first start, George always points out, that first start that Pineda made, if that ball didn't hit the catwalk, he would have got out that inning, and that would have been a strong performance too to start the season for Michael P.
And if the queen had balls, she'd be the king.
Final break of the morning coming up. This is the Roto Experts in the Morning here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Final few minutes here on the Roto Experts in the Morning. I know we were just chatting about it during the break. Some good NBA basketball this weekend, Matt.
There actually was. I mean, there's some really good games. You got to think James Harden came pretty pumped to play. That's a pretty damn nice line he put up. I think he's trying to prove a point here.
A lot of good games over the weekend in the NBA, and it was a fun start, of course, to the playoffs. Horrible, horrible news surrounding Isaiah Thomas.
Yes, and didn't Charles Barkley say something like totally like...
Yeah, he didn't feel comfortable with him crying.
And I'm a big Barkley fan, but I mean, come on.
A little bit of annoying news for you. Breaking news. This is annoying. But given that the Red Sox are at the ballpark already, John Farrell announced Eduardo Rodriguez will not make his start tomorrow.
Ooh.
As he's on the paternity list because his wife gave birth to their son yesterday. Brian Johnson likely to start on Tuesday in Toronto for Eduardo Rodriguez.
Just real quick, we'll get back to basketball. I remember...
Which means you're going to lose your 2-star week for Eduardo Rodriguez.
Yeah, that's crazy. That's not a good thing for the Eduardo. And lineups are locking in an hour and 12 for some people. But I remember back in the day when Kevin McReynolds was that player that took he left the Mets for the birth of his child and was all the hubbub back then.
It was all the hubbub when Daniel Murphy did that 2 years ago.
Yeah, but I'm saying that was like, this is the 80s we're talking about.
It's true. It's, you know, Eduardo Rios missing a star, which I guess, I mean, you have a million stars. I understand. It's your kid.
Oh, yeah, no. I mean, I'm at the point. Look, if it was my first child, I don't have any kids, but I would want to be there.
I'm going to now move Eduardo Rodriguez out of my lineup. He's lost his opportunity.
Well, who's he facing the other?
He's supposed to face Toronto and Baltimore. Which one's, I don't know which one's second. Mm-hmm. Whatever. I'm going to put Johnny Cueto back in Colorado. Whatever. I'm a glutton for punishment. Speaking of good pitching performances and also players that I have on this particular team, yesterday's Kansas City starter, Ian Kennedy. 8 innings, 2 hits, 10 strikeouts for IPK.
Yes, he had a fantastic start and a much-needed, really, really good start.
From Tyler Skaggs,
the talent translated yesterday. That's why you can't cut these guys after two bad starts. If you were believing in the Tyler Skaggs, you know, talent and everything coming full circle, you got to hold on a little. Or you got to put people on a bench at times. The cutting is not the way to go. Although, you know, patience.
The Skaggs start was really big. Really, really big, as Matt's talking about. And much needed. And now he's somebody I'm considering not taking out of my lineup because he pitched so well yesterday. Skaggs trying to put it all together. Cam Bedrosian comes in a little too late. Like, why didn't they just bring him in at the beginning of the inning?
You know, why
are they messing with Blake Parker?
I don't know what happened to Mike Socha. I think at one point he was a
top
manager. Maybe they gave him that crazy long-term deal.
Like, lifetime deal?
Yeah. So, I mean, the things I can't explain anymore. And I'm sure if Houston Street ever comes back, maybe he'll even try and throw him in the ninth, and then I'll really like...
No, yeah, that's coming.
Yeah.
Don't worry.
That's when a TV might get broken.
Don't you worry. That's coming. Hey, which of these guys would you start this week, Matt? Would you start Bundy at home against Boston? Amir Garrett home against Baltimore? Tyler Skaggs home against Toronto?
You know what? I think Skaggs is the play because Toronto's just so awful right now. They're just so lost.
I agree.
The power is sapped.
Or I can not start Shoemaker in Houston and start Bundy instead.
You know what? Yeah, maybe I roll Bundy. He's looking pretty good. I mean, either one, Shoemaker or Bundy. Maybe I'll go Bundy. Because I mean, I was happy about Matt Shoemaker's start this weekend. I will tell you.
I'm gonna start Shoemaker. Oh yeah, whatever. The only run scoring in that game, of course, came in the ninth. Really great pitching performances by both. Kelvin Herrera picks up the win for KC. Atlanta defeated San Diego yesterday by the score of 9-2. For Atlanta, big part, 7 innings, just 1 hit allowed, 1 walk, 6 strikeouts. The only hit was a Ryan Schimpf homer in the second inning. For San Diego, Trevor Cahill comes off the DL, 5 2/3, 4 hits, 4 runs, 3 walks. He strikes out 8.
Cahill's striking people out. But, you know, he's also got strikeouts are great, but you got to have a decent ERA as well. I think he's kind of close to 5. But, I mean, he's a guy to monitor because, I mean, he's not going to get wins with San Diego.
Yeah. But. Can we, we got to clap it up. We got to clap it up. Christian Betancourt did not allow a run yesterday. After not pitching in 10 days, Betancourt comes in. Pitching the inning, allows a couple of hits, but 0 runs let up for Christian Betancourt.
See, now, I still got to get back to this one question I have with him. I think this is great that they're trying to make him a pitcher. I'm all for it. But does he have, like, a thing where he has a clause where he doesn't have to go down to the minors or something? It's like, why isn't this taking place?
Well, maybe he's out of options. They don't want to lose him.
Yeah, I guess, I mean. That's the question I have to ask. I mean, that has to be it to me, because why wouldn't he learn on that level and then bring him up, like, say, middle of the year or something? It just doesn't make sense.
3 hits total for San Diego. The home run by Schimpf, the only good one. Brandon Phillips goes 3-for-4. He's on Corey's team. 333 average for Brandon Phillips this far this year. Tyler Flowers left this one early, as we talked about. Hopefully that's not a long-term serious injury. Andrew Inciarte, Matt's new player, he was 2-for-3 yesterday.
Inciarte had a hell of a week. Brandon Phillips is having a very nice start to the 2017 season. I like the park. Did you get a chance to check out the new SunTrust Park, whatever it's called?
I have not, no.
It looks pretty nice. Much nicer than the Turner Field.
Much nicer than Turner Field.
Yeah, Turner Field was like a dump.
That's cool. Hey, the Tigers defeated Cleveland yesterday by a score of 4-1. Matt Boyd, 6 innings, 7 hits, a run, 3 strikeouts. Frankie Rodriguez gets his 5th save of the year. Carlos Carrasco walked 5 guys.
Yeah, that was not good. I mean, look, I am as a Carlos Carrasco owner in certain places, I'm pretty happy that he's. My main thing right now is just stay healthy and the results will be there. This is a very talented pitcher.
Yep. Carrasco, 5 walks, 5 strikeouts. Michael Brantley stole his 2nd base of the year. Eddie Encarnacion stole his 1st. That was annoying for me yesterday. While Jose Ramirez, after seeing Justin Verlander, things have turned up. Things have gone well for him.
Life is going good for him right now.
Yes. Life is going very well as Ramirez was 1-for-2, had a walk, batting .350 right now with a .412 average. Francisco Lindor got a .436 OBP. Carlos Santana down to .208 with a .276 OBP. Not a good week for Carlos Santana.
Yeah, not a good week for him, but I think he'll be fine. I mean, Lindor has just been, I mean, that kid has really been amazing.
I think he's going to win MVP.
I feel like he is playing too.
Yeah, I think he's going to win MVP.
You know, if Cleveland wins the division and everything, and he keeps playing like this, he has tremendous. We're not even talking about his defense. So I mean, that alone is you know one of his. I mean, is a tremendous asset that he has.
Who was it, Matt? I meant to write this down and I forgot to write it down. I apologize. Oh crap! Who was it? It was on this team. Give me 1 second because this was this line. Was like the craziest line I had
Carlos
seen.
Carlos Martinez?
Carlos Martinez, exactly who it was. Carlos Martinez, this is why you're the best. Saturday night, I'm watching baseball and I'm taking notes and stuff and I forgot to do it. Carlos Martinez, I was watching the Saturday afternoon game. Saturday afternoon, I'm watching Carlos Martinez, I'm watching the run score, and I'm like, I'm eating lunch, I'm talking to some people I was in a room with, I'm watching the game, and I'm like, man, he's struck out a lot of guys. I'm playing Carlos Martinez in the league. Did you see the score, too? Because Carlos Martinez struck out 11 guys on Saturday afternoon.
Yeah.
That's pretty good, right?
Mm-hmm.
Only allowed 2 runs. Pretty good. 4 hits, right? Pretty good. Pitched 5 and a 3rd. I'm like, why don't you go longer? Do you know how many guys Carlos Martinez walked Saturday afternoon?
11.
No, he struck out.
I know. 11.
He walked 8.
Yeah, it's crazy.
That was the craziest line I saw all weekend.
Yeah, somebody had asked me if I had ever seen a double-digit walk strikeout. I said no. I mean, Randy Johnson, I guess for us, would be the closest thing. But when he first came up, it's more like a Nolan Ryan back in the 70s stuff.
That was the craziest thing I legitimately saw all weekend. It was wild.
Yeah, no, when I turned the game on, maybe it was like the 3rd inning or so, towards the end of the 3rd, I mean, I was pretty shocked, too. I looked at that box score after like the 4th inning, heading into the 5th, and I was like, oh, my God.
Final game we didn't touch on from yesterday. It was Pittsburgh and the Cubs. Jameson Taillon, an unbelievable performance. 7 innings, 7 hits, 1 run. It was not earned. 6 strikeouts. He walked 3. His ERA on the year is under 1. It's at .90. He is everything you have asked for when you drafted him.
He is looking legit, and a lot of people are very high on him. So he has done nothing to make you think otherwise. Pirates swept the Cubs.
Yes, they did. I'll tell you what. If Tony Watson does lose his job, which he's pitching well, so he's not in danger right now, mm-hmm. Felipe Rivera could be the guy.
Yeah, the thing with Felipe Rivera, too, is 2 things. A left-hander, mm-hmm. and like on Friday, I wasn't watching, I was listening to it. And he's got to have some control, too. I mean, he's a bit wild. Hudson has not lived up to the billing.
Not at all. And the Kasha doesn't look good either.
Oh, well, the Kasha thing had 1 bad outing. I mean, I don't think he's going to get the shot. I still hold that hope that he will at some point, but.
Well, I think Tony Watson, like I said, he's pitching well. So, you know, this isn't really a conversation. I'm just happy I drafted Tony Watson over Sam Dyson.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's a winner chicken dinner.
Lester pitched really well yesterday in his own right. 7 innings, 3 hits. He struck out 3. Cubs, as Matt says, they get swept. Josh Harrison stole his 2nd base of the year. Jordy Mercer got caught stealing, and Harrison also got picked off. For the Cubs, it was Adam Frazier with the big blast. He had a 3-run bomb in the 9th inning. Andrew McCutchen also had an RBI in this one. McCutchen was 1-for-4. OBP is up to .294. Starling Marte did not have a hit. Gregory Polanco sat this one out. Is this something we have to worry about this week? Like, if we have Polanco, do we start him?
I mean, you're starting him unless you're hearing that this is, you know, I'm hoping as a Polanco owner, he's back in the lineup today. I don't like seeing multiple days of rest. This is, you know, Saturday, Sunday.
Yep.
Hopefully today, yeah, that's got to be looking. You got to make that decision 1 hour.
One hour from now for the Cubs. Kyle Schwarber was 2-for-3. Anthony Rizzo had a hit. Zobra's had a hit. Hayward had a hit. That's it. Hey, Wilson Contreras is really struggling thus far this year. 0-for-4 yesterday. Batting 8th in the line, 7th in the lineup because they bet Lester 8th. 222 average, 263 OVP. All to a slow start.
It's a slow start. I mean, his game is going to be the defense for them right now. Just concentrate on the Cubs staff and get that going. And, you know, he can hit the kid.
As the weather gets warmer, he'll be better. Just like the OGs, because they're old. And when the weather gets warmer, they get better. They're up next, 10 a.m. Eastern. For Matt Wodeka and Corey Parson, I'm Greg Sussman. Have a wonderful rest of your Monday. We'll see you right back here tomorrow, 8 a.m. Eastern, for the Roto Experts. Adios.